Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James, the Fat Man Stevens.
Hello.
And Ryan, meh, Preston.
That's a good way to describe
it. Yeah, that's what my girlfriend called me.
Yeah. Better than Bob.
Or bitch.
So, I was talking with a friend of mine who's mid-20s. And they were talking about something. I just responded back, I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid. Can you guess what response I got back?
No, but I'm dying to hear it.
Just
I might have missed the first part you said. What
Kool-Aid? Well, I was talking to the friend of mine, and we were talking about something, and they're in their mid-20s. And I responded back, I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid. And I got a full-on what response. And it took me a second. I just kind of went, I guess you wouldn't understand that reference at all. Now, I know I don't have to ask John if he knew what I meant by that, or Brian, really, what I meant by that. But, you know, I just kind of was like, all right, I guess I should explain this. I said there was two cults that both kind of had their own little Kool-Aid special. And I brought up Jonestown and obviously Heaven's Gate's cult. And I just was thinking about that. I'm like, well, I know for certain Jonestown happened before they were born because that happened before I was born. It actually happened 80s is when Jonestown actually killed all of themselves. But Heaven's Gate, that was what, like late 80s, early 90s? I don't think. More like early 90s, right? Like 90, 91.
I think it was closer to mid 90s.
Okay. Anyways, but you know, it just like kind of baffled me for a second. I'm like, I guess, you know, that's not really something that you would learn in school. And I was thinking, you know, that is something they should learn in school. I think they should have that taught in school about the Jonestown Massacre and the Heaven's Gate cult.
So, question for you. Can you guess the year that it actually happened?
Which one?
Jonestown.
That they actually drank the cyanide, or yeah, that was cyanide Kool-Aid. I thought it was like 80, 81.
The people's...
I'd go a little later than that. I'd say 91.
91 for Jonestown?
Circle does not get the square. The People's Temple Agricultural Project, otherwise known as Jamestown, became internationally known when on November 18th, 1978,
a
total of 918 people died in the settlement at nearby Airstrip Port. I can't pronounce that name. And a temple-run building in Georgetown.
Jamestown. Jones.
Close enough.
Town.
James
Jim Jones.
But
Jamestown is over on the east coast of the United States.
I'm sticking with it. 1978. I didn't actually realize it was so early because I thought it was early 80s. Like I was thinking 80.
Yeah, I was thinking like they moved down to. Well, they were initially in the United States.
They were in San Francisco.
Yeah, they were in San Francisco. I wasn't going to go specific, but yes. Then they moved to South America. And that's when he started his whole thing and then, you know, was raping young girls and then decided to kill everybody.
So here's a little bit more information. Let's see. After Jones, and this is all by Wikipedia, so you guys can find it. After Jones received considerable criticism in Indiana for his integrationist views, the temple moved to Redwood Valley, California in 65. In the early 70s, the temple opened other branches in Los Angeles and San Francisco and eventually move its headquarters to San Francisco. So it's local to California.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jim Jones was a doctor?
Jim Jones was a psychopath who wanted to sleep with young children.
Did you say he was a doctor, though?
No, he could be. I don't...
Now, is this an actual doctorate, or is it a self-proclaimed doctor?
I didn't say doctorate. Cyanide-poisoned Flavor-Aid. That's what it says here. Right. Reverend Jones was officially ordained in 56 by the Independent Assemblies of God. Whoa, he was AG. And in 64 by the Disciples of Christ. He moved his congregation to California in 65 and gained notoriety with its activities in San Francisco in the 70s. He then left the United States, bringing members to Ganya Jungle. Is that how you say it? G-U-Y-A-N-A. Ganya Jungle Commune. In 78. Thank you.
I've heard it pronounced both ways.
In 78, media reports surfaced of human rights abuse in the People's Temple in Jonestown. U.S. Representative Leo Ryan led delegation to the commune to investigate. Ryan and others were murdered by gunfire while boarding a return flight with some former cult members who had wished to leave. Jones then ordered and likely coerced mass suicide by 918 members of the 304 then children, almost all by cyanide poison Flavor Aid. What a fucking cocksucker.
Yeah.
Anyways. You know what? No, I'm sorry. I'm being rather mean to people who
suck cock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry,
Ryan. He apologized.
Pick your favorite insult. That guy was that insult. I'm sorry.
Now,
he died by suicide by gunshot wound to the head.
Yeah. He was shot by his own follower because he was too cowardice to actually drink the cyanide flavored Gatorade or whatever, Flavor Aid, whatever the fuck. I don't care. It's Kool-Aid.
It does. Anyways. So it doesn't look like he was an actual he had a doctorate in theology. So no. It looks like he was just an ordained minister.
Yeah. So,
Oh, okay. I thought I must have misheard. I thought you said he was a doctor. And then I'm thinking, wait, Dr. Jones from Indiana?
So, but anyways.
Wow, that movie had an interesting twist at the end then.
No Time for Love.
So I was just kind of thinking, you know, I guess that terminology of, now when I used I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, it means that I'm not jumping on board with the whole, you know, sheep following type line of thinking. And I'm just thinking, you know, I guess I really can't use that terminology anymore.
Why?
Because then I have to give a history lesson.
No, we see. I think you can still do it because that's something that's within the cultural. That's
in like 30s and up.
But that's still something within the cultural mythos. I mean, even like.
Yeah.
I think you
can
use it.
Even if they don't know the history of it, I think people know what it means.
You should.
Well, after I spoke with this person, I work with a few people that are in the 20s, you know, early 30s age. And so I started, you know, being like, so if I say to you, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, what does that mean? And they just kind of looked at me like, you're not drinking the Kool-Aid? And I'm like, okay, what about a Jonestown's or Heaven's Gate cult? And they're just kind of like, I don't know. And it's just one of those things. It's like, now, that was just taught to us through, you know, I mean, we weren't alive for Jonestown. We were definitely alive for Heaven's Gate and Waco.
I think we all learned that through osmosis.
Yeah, so, but I guess it's obviously not something that's being taught through osmosis anymore. And I'm just thinking like, well, it's such a valuable lesson to people to learn that there are people out there who are sick and sadistic and so full of themselves that they will try to lead people along this type of path. I mean, like, people know of Charles Manson still, younger people, but I don't think they really know all that Charles Manson was actually doing.
Well, but then you get movies made out of them, like out of the recent one, and maybe that'll be something that'll jog.
Why, you think somebody's going to start a Jonestown movie?
Why not? It would be an interesting movie.
What about Heaven's Gate? Who was Heaven's Gate? What was that guy's name? You guys remember?
No. I just remember the Hellbop comment.
I remember the Reeboks. That shit was expensive at that time, man.
And the purple bed sheets.
Yeah.
But no,
I mean, come on, Ryan. The Reeboks at that time, they were like over $100.
You know what the most interesting thing about this guy to me?
Jones?
Yeah, because he was a racial I can't say this word right now. Integrationist. I-N-T-E E-G.
Marshall Applewhite.
Racial integrationist. It's interesting. In 1960, New York Times reported that in 53, declaring that he was outraged at what he perceived as racial discrimination in his white congregation.
Oh, shit.
Mr. Jones established his own church and pointedly opened it to all ethnic groups. To raise money, he imported monkeys and sold them door-to-door as pets. That, to me, is amazing, that in 1953, he had an integrated church.
What if he integrated just because he wanted to kill black people via the Kool-Aid? Then it's like doubly racist.
Holy jumping to conclusions.
Wow, right? That was pretty smart to pick up on that. And
like, what if
John's right, 97.
Step ahead of the racist game.
And see, during this time, Jones also helped to racially integrate churches, restaurants, the telephone company, the Indianapolis Police Department, a theater and amusement park, and the Indiana University Health Methodist Hospital. Swastikas were painted on homes of two black families, and Jones walked through the neighborhood, comforting local black community and counseling white families not to move. That's amazing to me, the fact that a guy who ended up murdering 900 plus people, if he didn't...
Well, murdering is a loose term. Convince people to kill themselves?
But that's how Charles Manson got arrested.
I guess the defense rests.
Charles Manson convinced people to kill other people, not themselves.
There's a difference there. I think if you convince people to kill themselves, I think you're a murderer.
Well, according to that one court case of that chick who was doing the texting to the guy, then that's the case.
But
motherfucker, if you're dumb enough to let somebody talk you into killing yourself, you fucking please remove your genes from the gene pool.
But it just amazes me that a guy, if he hadn't done that, he might have been known as a fairly decent dude. I mean, 1953.
You know, I'm willing to give him a pass for the fucking Jonestown thing based off all the shit you just said.
So here's the reason I don't. This is kind of a big leap, but follow me here. Do you remember who Chris Benoit is? Ryan?
The guy that made anal beads?
So Chris Benoit was a famous wrestler. His nickname was the Crippler Chris Benoit, and because of CTE, they think, and because of all the other issues, he ended up killing his son and his wife. And then himself. Here's the reason I don't. He was literally known as an amazing wrestler. If you ever talk to any of his friends or anybody who actually knew him, or even in people in the industry, saying the dude was an amazing wrestler. But his history and his past will always be, always have an asterisk because of the deed he did. And I feel the same way at Jonestown. I mean, even though if he, in 1953 in Indiana, he tried to change people's hearts and say, hey, you know, black people are just folks, he'll still always have the asterisk because the 918 people who killed themselves because of his greed.
Wait, was it that many? I was thinking it was more like 100. Was it seriously 915?
Where is it? 918 people. Plus, I think hold on. Jones then ordered and likely cursed a mass suicide by 918 commune members, and 304 of them are children.
Ooh, okay, yeah, never mind the past thing. Okay.
That's...
Okay, then.
Even if it was just 100 people, I'd still say his life will be asterisked. And in a couple of different ways, I think it's...
Fuck no, 100 dumb adults, I'm good at that.
Even, you know, and I think it's asterisked a couple of things. Is for one, he coerced people to kill themselves, and he also did it in the name of God. That pisses me off, you know. So he has two asterisks by his name, and if he didn't do that, I think the dude would be known as...
Added to the list of terrible shit done in the name of God.
No shit.
You know, fuck, I don't even think that breaks the top 20.
And, you know, and I seriously think it would be like, Hitler. This is an extreme example, but if he hadn't killed all those people, all the Jews, all the handicapped, et cetera, he would have known that as a pretty good leader because he got the Rhineland back, and a lot of the Germans were upset at that. He got the economy going again, and which the Treaty of Versailles absolutely killed the economy of Germany. If he hadn't done all those atrocities, he would have been known as a fairly great German leader.
Yeah, but then he invades fucking Poland because he's salty about the fucking Treaty of Versailles.
No, 100%.
Yeah, how many untold fucking people?
I blame the mustard gas. Just,
yeah.
And I see, that's why I think that's the same thing as the Jim Jones, same thing as Hitler. I can't, even though he did some good deeds, I can't let that asterisk pass. So I don't know, just because this is amazing, because I didn't actually know that Jim Jones did all this until now.
So, in your definition, Jim Jones is a good guy?
If he didn't kill all those people, I think he would have been. I think he would have been known as a somewhat quirky good guy.
Yeah.
So probably. Then we could also go back to the argument that Charles Manson is a good guy.
If he hadn't talked to people into killing other people, you might have been considered a really odd duck.
Was he super involved in humanitarian efforts?
He gave, according to him, the Beach Boys, all their tracks were his.
I know he had a song I think they recorded.
Yeah.
Of his. But I don't know enough about Manson. Did he help? Did he do any humanitarian? Because I know his.
He tried to burn down a boys' school.
I'm not sure if that's humanitarian unless it was Catholic.
It depends on what the guys at the boys' school felt about that school.
But so that,
I don't think they wanted him back, but, you know.
You'd want that thing burned down.
Well, I mean, question. But the other thing is, during that time in the 60s, there were a lot of people doing pie-in-the-sky humanitarian efforts. So, that's really hard
really
to tell.
He really wasn't involved in the 60s for more than maybe a year or two. I mean, he was released from Alcatraz in the 60s and ended up in San Francisco.
Well, did he do anything, though, besides talk people into killing other people?
He wrote songs.
Okay, poetry. So basically didn't do anything.
Spent a lot of time with the Birdman of Alcatraz. That's not a joke.
No. I don't think anybody could, unless you're that particularly, you know, who like Manson. No, I don't think Manson could ever be considered a good person at all.
Well, I guess, you know, considering that the Birdman of Alcatraz killed all of his cellmates except for Charles Manson, that should say something. He must have been doing something right.
He was afraid of Manson. Of course, the Birdman had to be elderly at that point.
Well, you know who the Birdman is, right?
Not off the top of my head.
He was an assassin for Al Capone. He was Al Capone's favorite assassin.
So what, he's 90 at that point?
No, I would think he would be maybe 60s, 70s.
I don't think
80s. I don't know.
I don't think Charles Manson could have in any point
you know,
be considered.
Charles Manson didn't really have a lot of experience with life outside of institutional life. So, I mean, no, I really can't say he did anything good, but he necessarily didn't do anything bad other than, you know, some stealing and, you know, theft and drugs and things like that. And but I'm just kind of pointing out that, I mean, if we really look at a lot of these really messed up people, we could even go to Stalin and Mussolini and those guys too, and I'm sure they all have their redeeming factors. Do you think they would end up where they were without it? Do you think that people would follow them without that?
No, you're right. But that's also why I said if he hadn't done the horrible acts, they would have been known as good people.
That's what I'm saying is like everybody at some point in their life could be argued as a good person.
Unless you're a Calvinist.
Or Darwin.
But
I'm just pointing out that just because Jim Jones was in the mode of just saying, you know, I want to be all inclusive in my mass suicide, doesn't necessarily mean that that was a good person. He had a goal to be set up as somebody to be revered, followed, and listened to.
See, that part
of that's what he was after, not necessarily an all inclusive church.
Right. Well, no, I.
Hitler.
I think
Hitler had his goals. He wanted to bring the Nazi party, which was not a bad party when he started it. That wasn't their thing. But what his goals were was to dominate the world with a German Reich. Now, what he set up as to get those goals were beneficial to the German people. Now, the pass he took, yeah, there were some certain beneficial points to it. If he had stopped then, yes, Germany would be better off. The world would probably be better off. But his goal wasn't to stop there. Just because somebody has some stepping points along their path that you agree with doesn't mean that that's a good person, because their eye isn't on the good. Their eye is on the goal of what they're after.
But you missed the first thing I said. I said history would have found him a good person if he hadn't done that thing. And I'm not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But his goal in life wasn't that thing, John. His goal in life was to dominate. That's the same with Jim Jones. No, that's the same with Charles Manson. History, that's the same with Applegate guy.
The thing you're missing is the fact that history never writes down the atrocities people do. If you look at, for example, Steve Jobs. In real life, Steve Jobs was an asshole who wasn't liked by anybody, who would get brand new cars every 6 months so he could park in handicapped spots. I've never heard one good thing from anybody about Steve Jobs, but the world will remember him as being an amazing person. And Steve Jobs was a piece of shit who was known for walking around and firing people because he didn't like them.
That's one thing. Okay, you're a shitty boss. You know, you might be a dick to fucking people you walk around, but what you've given humanity is, you know, outweighs that.
He didn't give humanity shit. He was literally the only thing Steve Jobs had, if you want to boil it down. He was good at stealing other people's accomplishments and being a good PR and spin guy. The Apple II?
Allegedly.
No, 100%. He didn't do shit. The Apple I and Apple II were not his creations. That was Steve Wozniak. Steve Wozniak did everything. Jobs could code, possibly. Steve Jobs was tasked to make a video game. Woz did it. Steve Jobs pocketed most of the money. The reason he was kicked out of Apple is because he was kind of an asshole. The reason he was brought back, because everybody realized he had a strange personality that had this ability to bring people together. During when he was alive and doing presentations, they used to call it the Steve Jobs reality distortion field, because he would make shitty ideas seem like great ideas.
Well, that's the same thing with... I'm actually going to try to pull up the guy's name. It's going to take a minute. Okay, so now one of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons is the Steamboat Willie episode.
Yeah. Brian,
you know what I'm talking about, right?
Are you talking about...
What I'm talking about is the story of that whole thing.
You mean how Disney stole the character?
Yeah.
The creator.
The creator. Now, that's the actual thing of Walt Disney. Walt Disney could not draw.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story I heard on the Drunken History. I love Drunken History because you get some really funny stories along with it. And one of the stories that was told was about Disney, and I can't remember the actual artist names. I got a couple, Ollie Johnston, Mac Fraser Davis,
and Ward Kimball.
I can't remember who it was. Now, what happened was Walt Disney was at a party, and somebody came up to him and said, "Hey, can I get a picture of Mickey Mouse?" And so what Walt Disney did is he called the artist over, had the artist draw Mickey Mouse on a bar napkin and handed it to the guy. That pissed the artist off. Now, that's just the same thing as Walt Disney wasn't the genius behind the designs. He was the genius behind the promotion and to put it out and to market it. And that's why his name's all over the damn parks.
Or Henry Ford.
Yeah.
Everybody will remember Henry Ford for being a good guy instead of being an anti-Semitic piece of shit.
Yeah.
History doesn't remember the bad deeds of a person, you know, like who's a crappy person. They remember his good deeds. Same thing with if you're a crappy person.
Boss is still a fucking company. The founder was a Nazi. The reason it's still a company is because no one can argue with how fucking snappy the Nazis look. Not for nothing.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like,
I mean, it's like, yeah, I'd like to shoot everybody wearing that uniform, but, you know, damn, that's a boss.
That's
a pretty dope looking uniform.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with Jim Jones. I mean, I have no doubt he had a personality complex, wanted people to follow him. But if he stopped at just that, I don't think that's a bad thing if you're a pastor and want people to follow you, unless you take it the wrong way, which he obviously did. Because I think in some degrees, I think you have to have a little bit of an ego, and just a little bit, to be a pastor in some degrees, especially if you're a pastor of a mega church. I think it helps a little bit.
Well, okay. So let's bring up somebody who not necessarily took a bunch of people and pushed them down a wrong direction.
Okay.
But... I enjoy what his goal was. Timothy Leary. Do you know what the goal of Timothy Leary was?
I don't know enough about the dude. I know who he is, but I don't know enough about him.
Do you know what Timothy Leary was about?
Fantastic individual.
Huh?
Mind expansion?
Yes. He didn't want people to just accept what they saw and what they took as reality. He wanted people to push the boundaries of what we look at. He wanted us to try to understand plants, to look at them as more than just, you know, just something we can touch and use, but to actually understand them in a more molecular understanding. He wanted us to try to understand that they make noises, that even, you know, the sound, the vibration, that's what he was after. Even with the same expansion of the universe, to look at everything. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. So, but what he was using it as, you know, to get people to that point was acid.
Hold on, LSD. One second before we go any further. So if you don't know who he is, because he's very big in the 60s pop culture, yeah, if you paid attention. But here's a little information about him.
He was a full-on doctor. He's a smart man.
And this is from Wikipedia. As a clinical psychologist at Harvard University, Leary conducted experiments on the Harvard Psilocybin Project in 60-62. LSD and psilocybin were legal in the United States at the time, resulting in the Concord Prison Experiment and in the Marshall Chapel Experiments. The scientific legitimacy and ethics of his research were questioned by other Harvard facility because he took psychedelics together with a research subject and pressured students in his class to take the psychedelics. He was famous for, what was it, Tune In, Dropout, and something. I can never remember, but he's, I think the Beatles has a song that mentions his name. So he's really big in some circles in the 60s pop culture, just kind of a little bit of knowledge.
Yeah. But you know,
He was, here it is. People tend to gravitate towards a person, whatever somebody's beliefs are, you know what I mean? Like, you know, religious or spiritual or vehemently against either one of those things. I'm a fan of somebody who likes the connection to the mystery. You know what I mean? Like I'm a huge fan of science, and science is basically like, okay, here's what we don't know. You know, it's getting to that point of like, okay, here's where our knowledge stops. So let's look further. Those people understand, you know, this larger thing going on, that we're all connected to a large thing, whether that's God or just the universe in the Carl Sagan, Neil deGrasse Tyson kind of way, is open to interpretation. But I like people that like that mystery, that like the, hey man, here's a way to think about something you never have, whether that might have been LSD back in the day, you know, when it was first developed.
So his,
you know, or shrooms.
So the thing I was talking about was Turn On, Tune In, Drop Out. It's a kind of counterculture era phrase popularized by Timothy Leary in 66 in 66. In 67, Leary spoke at the Human Bee in a gathering 30,000 hippies in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. So I just wanted to finish that.
Yeah. And, you know, like Ryan was saying, you know, I like his philosophy, because now science has caught up to what he was trying to point out. That's what I want to bring up, is that he was trying to.
And he might have been a little overzealous back in the day.
Exactly.
But, you know.
Yeah, he was way overzealous. Took it to extremes that I don't think it needed to be, and then kind of basically fried his genius brain to the point where he couldn't articulate what he was trying to do and lost focus.
See, the problem
is what I would say.
But that was the time. Yeah. If you take a look, I mean, right now, honestly, it's a rough, super rough comparison. But nowadays, you could say in some ways the 60s, today's like the 60s with all the overzealousness of things. But instead of doing what the hippies did, they're going the opposite direction. But I think that was the order of the day, was kind of this overzealousness, trying to find your your path. Now, if you look at some of the TV shows today, granted, back then it was a little over the top, but you take a look at the 67 to 1970 Dragnet, they made fun of hippies all the time. Yeah. If you take a look, the 67 to 74, 75-ish, Adam 12 had the same thing with the little bits of hippies in there. So I think that was just kind of the order of the day was that.
Yeah. No, necessarily what
Well, you know, it's the early days of anything like that are always going to be like that. You know what I mean? And as time goes on, you have the benefit of hindsight and you're able to add nuance to it. You know what I mean? Like we all recognize in 2019, okay, the extreme opinion of do drugs all the time, Timothy Leary and Nancy Reagan, no drugs for anybody ever. Like both of those are crazy. You know, so now in 2019 or whatever year it might be between those two extremes, we get to say, okay, what is the correct amount of drugs?
I think Nancy Reagan was closer to being right than Timothy Leary on the drug things personally. Because I've known way too many people who made themselves dumb. I do know, however, people who are so conservative, they're jackasses.
That's what I'm going to bring up is the fact that, okay, now I won't say Nancy was a jackass when it came to it.
But we've...
To morality. But
we've all known...
I can go on a whole other topic
here. But we've all known the straight edge guy who just took it to a ridiculous edge instead of saying, hey, man, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I'll drop aspirin once in a while. But, you know, that's it. That's just my thing.
Yeah.
We've all known the people who are, you know, they're the preacher of it. And they see you, you know, kicking back.
Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
What? Sorry?
You know, you see some of you kicking back, drinking something, you know, they freak out on you.
Yeah. So, where I was going to go is that... But we're talking about that time, and this is totally went on a different tangent of where I was going with this. But now I got to bring up the two greatest hacks that came out of the hippie pop era of that time is Andy Warhol.
I don't know enough about him.
He is a talentless hack who just, oh, God, I can go off on Andy Warhol. And another one that took advantage of the stupidity of that era was Scorsese, another talentless hack who is just a piece of shit.
Hey, so Ryan, just promise you're not going to go on the tangent on that. I've heard you guys comment too much on that one.
No, he knows.
I'm only up Scorsese's ass for Taxi Driver. Everybody loves that movie. It's
piece
fucking overrated.
Anyways.
But aside from that, I mean, he's got a decent batting average. I mean, between fucking Wolf of Wall Street and Departed, I got to say I'm at least a little bit of a fan.
So he's definitely, I mean, without going
Countless
too deep
hack.
In it, I think he's definitely, I think he has to be your type of director. It's like, you know, the guy who did The Shining. I think you have to like his style to really enjoy him.
You mean not the piece of shit that came out from...
I don't remember the guy's name. The guy who did
Kubrick.
Yeah, Kubrick. I think you have to like Scorsese's films to really get Scorsese. I think the same with Kubrick because I'm not a giant Kubrick fan, so I haven't seen a whole lot of his movies that I really dig, other than The Killing.
Yeah, Killing was good. Clockwork Orange.
You don't
good.
Like Full Metal Jacket?
Okay, I like I said, I like parts. I don't like all of his catalog.
Well, not everybody's going to like the full thing of Full Metal Jacket. I mean,
but I think, you know, but I think with Scorsese, I think it's the same way. Some people like certain, you know, I think all of his movies have kind of a certain funk to it. And I think the people who like that type of thing, that's the thing
those type of people
are going to like.
I will give you this. Now, every director.
How's that for circular logic?
Every director probably has at least one or two movies that you're going to like. Every director. If you go through their entire repertoire, that's just what it is. Now, the thing about that is that if you took a handful of darts and just chucked it at a dartboard with blindfolded, you're going to hit the board at least once or twice. Okay. That's the same thing. So if you throw out a certain amount of just pieces of shit, somebody out there is going to be like, oh, that's not a bad one. That piece of shit has a peanut in it. You know, that's what I'm coming back to. Okay. Now.
Whoa. Okay. So.
Wow.
There. You like that?
So Martin Scorsese, I'm going through his IMDb, and yeah, I mean, you know, he's got a lot of fucking movies.
Yeah.
And a lot of documentaries, a lot of shorts, but you know, Raging Bull was good.
I'll argue with you on that.
You'll argue with him on Goodfellas anything.
Goodfellas was good.
Which one? Goodfellas. Yes, yes. I'll give you Goodfellas.
Casino.
Yeah, parts of Casino.
Oh, I love Casino.
The whole James fucking
York,
thing?
It was kind of hit or miss for me.
Which one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gangs of New York.
You know, Gangs of New York wasn't bad.
I saw where he was going with that one.
Yeah.
You know, he was stylizing a little bit. I dug the characters he was getting into. Aviator was a fucking horrible movie.
I agree with you there.
Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of a different movie. Yeah, no, that
are
was,
you talking about?
All right, it was just about an hour long, longer than it needed to be.
I didn't realize he's done a lot.
He has done a lot of movies. That's what I'm saying.
When I
if you throw enough out there, if you throw enough out there, that's all I'm going to say.
Shutter Island, I didn't like. Hugo, I wasn't a big fan of. Wolf of Wall Street is one of my favorite movies fucking ever.
But
Cape Fear?
I didn't watch that one. I don't have any interest.
If I've seen Cape Fear.
I have no interest.
That was
you know,
De Niro too, wasn't it?
It's one of those with his name on it that I'm just like,
it's 91. It's with Robert De Niro, Nick Nolte. I think that's the one. A convicted rapist released from prison after severing a 14-year sentence, serving his 14-year sentence, stalks the family. Isn't that the one with Wahlberg?
Yeah, that's Fear.
Oh, no, you're right. This is a different one.
That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah. I didn't realize he did. So, yeah, he's done a lot of movies.
Oh, Fear. I remember that play.
He didn't. Yeah.
With Reese Witherspoon.
Yep.
Yeah, there's not a lot of movies, honestly, that he's done that I've liked, but he's
exactly.
not. Exactly. Well, no, well, I'm incredibly fucking picky when it comes to certain things, and his funk just isn't my flavor. I mean, honestly.
But that's what I'm just kind of pointing out is that, you know, he got his name from what movie?
Taxi Driver. And I'd say you Goodfellas know? And that's, Casino.
But his name became big because of Taxi Driver. And the thing is, the line that is quoted from Taxi Driver, he didn't write. He didn't write that. That was De Niro.
Yeah, but he could have removed it from the film.
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
But that was a damn good line.
By me saying I don't like that movie before people can listen to this.
It's a piece of shit movie.
It's not because of like poor performance by De Niro.
No, it's not.
Or something like that. It's for one, the movie takes 45 minutes to do fucking anything.
It's a very slow movie.
It's a very slow movie. The camera was I don't think it stopped moving.
No.
Even in like a two shot, people having like coffee at a diner. I remember the camera just forever moving, always changing angles. Like, dude, we're just trying to focus on a fucking conversation.
Well, okay, now hold on, Ryan. That's what made his name was that directing camera style. Go look it up.
By the way, that's actually something that they've done a lot in.
Yeah.
In that I really hate where like the
camera
never stops.
He is the guy who brought that to film.
I was watching years ago. I was at a men's group and they were watching a video, and I was just bitching all the time. Like the guy's like, "Why are you complaining so much? The camera hasn't stopped moving once." Like that, what? Look, I'm getting effing nauseous here. I can't. It's like if this camera moves any more, I'm gonna hurl. And apparently, a bunch of people at a Christian men's group don't like the fact that I was complaining of the fact it was legitimately making me nauseous.
Anyways,
I hate that. That
you know,
shaky cam.
But that I was just kind of bringing up the fact that, you know, even outside of people that get a lot of followers to follow them into horrible acts, same with everything that we do. That's what I was coming back to, is the fact that it even happens in art and movies. And actual,
I would
painting
say,
art. That's the same thing. It's just
that's more. So, I see. The only thing
now
is,
I don't I like Scorsese. Now, as a person, I've heard Scorsese isn't a bad guy.
The only thing I would say about that is that
as a person, I've heard Andy Warhol is an asshole.
Only thing is, I'd say art is super subjective that way. Though very few people have killed themselves because an artist said so. You know, unless you were the guy for Nirvana, because if I remember correctly, I think there were people who were doing that around that time. That's the only thing I could think of is art is super subjective versus you're being talked into it. Was I watched an interview years ago, and one of the reasons the person said the reason Hitler got so empowered is because his ability to hold an audience.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and so he could sway the audience and the people wouldn't let go versus, you know,
hold on.
I can see the similarities, but I still think
it's
different.
I've heard the same thing, but the thing about Hitler's speeches is that he took you on a journey. That's the thing about Hitler's speeches is that he didn't just go up there and talk to people. He took them through an experience to raise their emotions.
So he basically cut a wrestling.
An emotional, yes.
He quote a wrestling promo.
Yeah.
If y'all don't know wrestling promo, wrestling's all about controlling your emotions in the audience, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, but that's what it is. And there's a whole...
I still think there's a difference, and I can't put it to words.
There's a there's people that have taken disassembled Hitler speeches and put it out as ways to talk to people. And that's kind of what wrestling got into, is that type of
I got to admit, thinking. Though, I wish
I speaking of German, I understand them.
That's the only thing is I wish I spoke German so I could get the actual flavor of how I was doing it. Because when you see a translation of any language, you lose something in there. And that's usually the inflection you put on the words.
Well, in German, it's the order they are in.
Well, that I didn't know. But so I
it's grammatic.
So I would love to be able to speak any sort and see kind of how he flavored it. Because I have a feeling, just by what James says, that the way he did it, too, was very particular.
Oh, yeah. 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 Anyways, there's like a whole system that came up out of Hitler's speeches that shows kind of how he leads people into.
Did it become popular in the 80s with big business people like Sun Tzu's The Arts of War?
And Donald Trump, yeah. And Obama. A lot of speechwriters have taken over the same way that he did.
Obama didn't write his own speeches, did he?
No. You think Obama can write?
Yes, actually. He's fairly articulate.
I'm just.
Unlike me. I can't pronounce my words.
Nobody writes their own speeches.
Actually, you know, I really can't stand Donald Trump's speeches. I just can't stand the way
what
he talks.
Speeches?
My biggest.
You mean when he gets up and fucking rambles and completely ignores whatever fucking.
Actually, okay. Now the thing that really drove me nuts was
it's the fucking threes.
No, I heard him talking, and this was a couple months ago, about his meeting with the Chinese ambassador. This is months ago, and the thing was we had a fantastic meeting. Our meeting was really, really great. Just fantastic. We talked about a bunch of great things and it was just a really great breakfast. And I'm like, dude, just fucking say something.
See, a guy I worked with told me something that
I can't do it. I can't keep doing it.
It made sense to me, but I thought it was BS. He said, Donald Trump learned something early in his life that if you say things three times, people remember. The issue I have is you listen to a speech and he says, I'm doing good. Today was good. It's just like, I don't like hearing him speech because
that's exactly it.
It drives me, the tangerine tornado drives me nuts.
It's not the fact that he says things in threes. It's the fact that he never says anything.
No, it's the fact he says shit in threes that drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's worse than when I'm doing evasive.
I need to be out here talking for 5 minutes. I'm just going to go up here and suck my own dick for that 5 minutes and then walk away and then call it a win.
Wait, did you have a rib removed like Marilyn Manson?
It's just annoying. Like even Bill Clinton, who had the world's longest State of the Union speeches, said more in a shorter period of time than Donald Trump does. And I didn't
like
because
he was
thinking
about cigars.
It just drives me blue dresses. It just drives me nuts. I hate listening to Trump speak.
No,
I do like some of the written reports of the way he says things because at least they kind of boil down what he says, so I don't have to listen to the speech a couple of times and try to get the gist.
Yeah. Literally the thing I can't stand about Donald Trump is that he doesn't say anything. it's really, you know, it's not the threes. It's not any of that. It's just the fact that it's rambling, as Ryan said.
And the worst thing is, I actually agree with some of the stuff he said, like he's done, but it's just like,
I still want my federal CCW.
No, that'll never happen. He's not pro gun.
Yeah, but he promised me a federal CCW. If Obama can get people phones, I want a federal CCW.
I think getting phones was easier than giving somebody a federal CCW.
I don't care.
You'll never get it.
Even, I don't care.
Even his wife. Actually, okay, so y'all, this is going to be talking a little bit of politics, so just to warn you. So if
I
you
think
don't,
we've already disseminated politics there, John.
So Dan Crenshaw, he was the SEAL. He was a SEAL team guy who's now in government. He's the guy with the one eye. Was talking about red flag laws. If you know what a red flag law is, it's fucking bullshit. Basically, it's like, oh, this person gave me a bad look. I'm exaggerating a tad bit. This person gave me a bad look. He's have guns. Let's report him. Okay, take all his guns away. I'm sorry. I don't want to go further on it, but the dude lost some respect for me. But on the other hand, if you expect anybody who's military, anybody who's a cop to actually like firearms is a complete logical fallacy. I've met plenty of cops who hate guns, and I've met plenty of military people who aren't fond of them either. So if you're a conservative and think, oh, all because somebody was in the military and they like guns, it's a complete logical fallacy.
Well, there's a lot of people that join the military for benefits, not weapons or...
Exactly. You know.
Leading their targets.
I know, you know, an old.
Not
I knew,
leading their targets as
well.
Much.
What's the percentage of people in the military who actually carry a gun for their job?
You mean
really, who, really, really, really low?
You mean who are allowed to?
Really fucking low.
Yeah. That's what he meant. He meant allowed to carry their weapons.
The vast majority of people in the military, the last 95% of them are going to say the last time I fired a weapon was in basic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew a chick that loved playing with their uranium Gatling gun. I really liked that chick.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was really jealous of her. And she's just like,
I want to do that.
She's like, that's what I get to play with most of the time. I'm like, okay, I want your job, but I'm not joining the Navy. What?
Isn't depleted uranium on those things fucking dangerous?
It's slightly radioactive.
Yeah, slightly. Not enough to worry. I mean, she's not going to have kids anytime soon.
But I am curious, though, on what's more radioactive, a banana or depleted uranium? Because bananas spike because of the potassium. They spike Geiger counters. So I'm kind of wondering what's more dangerous.
Are you afraid of bananas?
Yeah, that's
well, no, because in theory they're not super radioactive. So I'm wondering what's their actual level of radiation compared to like a fruit that is known to be slightly radioactive. So I'm just curious.
Well, just because they can detect it doesn't mean it's in the, you know, the range of worth detecting.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, what's the rad difference?
Well, no, I wasn't thinking about like the radiation so much. I thought, like, I remember reading some article where. I don't know, I'm about to start talking out of my ass. Working with uranium.
Because I've heard it's radioactive, but I've never heard actually, and I've never looked it up, which is the fault on mine, but I've never actually seen how actual dangerous is it, because I wouldn't think they would use it as a weapon if it was something that was so deadly. But on the other hand, they used Agent Orange in Vietnam, which is affecting kids now. So
okay, it's not like the thing's glowing, John.
Well, yes, but radiation, even under little bits, can start unraveling DNA and start causing mutation. So the question is, at what level, how dangerous is it really? Is constant exposure dangerous, or is it like X-rays? You should only have one so many times in your lifetime before you start getting cancer. So I'm just curious in how dangerous is it really? Because I've heard X-rays, if you have a lot of X-rays, there's a higher chance of you getting cancer. Because it's so concentrated.
So there's some things that are definitely linked to some health concerns regarding the chemical toxicity, radiological hazard,
well,
Gulf War syndrome, even though it looks like there's not a lot of
You know, there's like a whole thing of California.
Wait, hold on. Is this from depleted uranium?
Right.
Okay, I'll look it up. I'm sorry. What were you saying? You two were talking the same time.
There's this whole thing of California warnings. I'm trying to remember the actual thing of it. There's like these cancer warnings that are outside of California, and it states on them, this product contains chemicals known to the state of California to cause cancer. Now, this is outside of California that a lot of these places have these stickers that are warning that say that they cause cancer from California. And people get confused by them. I was asked by this recently, and I totally had to go look it up because I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Because we don't get those. Because in California, we just assume that everything gives us cancer. And I'm just going to just bluntly say it. Breathing being born causes cancer. Okay? You know?
Basically. You live long enough, you get cancer.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. Like, there's so much shit out there that's going to cause you cancer. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to go out and, you know, start handling depleted uranium or uranium-hardened ammunition all the time and expect myself to still produce children and live a long life. That's all I gotta say, is if you're dealing with something that is obviously radioactive or was highly radioactive, you're gonna die. If you breathe, you're gonna die.
So here's the thing, in 99, looks like 2000, 2002, 2003, an IAEA, and an 05, looks like there was no... there's no proven link between DU exposure and increases in human cancer, other significant health environment impacts. I just found that interesting, you know, because I've always wondered, and it's actually stored as uranium hexafluoride in steel cylinders in open air yards close to your enrichment plants. So it looks like there's no actual proof that it gives cancer, but the only Yeah, the only issue I think is probably what it is if it does cause cancer, it doesn't cause cancer in high enough levels to be any sort of proven.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I would say is that. I mean, even like the things about eye surgery. Now, initially, when they were doing the whole 20/20 vision, you know, surgeries and things like that, I'm like, dude, you know, like.
You talk about the knife surgery or the eye surgery, the laser?
Well, I'm talking about just the whole surgery thing. Now, my initial concerns are, okay, you're fucking with the eye. Now, you could possibly go blind at some point. Now, let's just see how this works out in 20 years. If it's still something or if people that have gotten the surgery go blind. Because just because something at that point is beneficial doesn't mean that 30 years after that person's life, it's not going to have some type of negative consequence. So that's what I'm kind of saying. So if you have something like uranium or depleted uranium shells or any of that crap, just because 5 years of handling it, you don't end up with any negative benefits. 10 years, you don't end up with any negative benefits. Let's talk 50, 60 years and see what people are saying at that point.
It's like what I was saying with Agent Orange. They're actually finding out that these vets' grandchildren, their grandchildren's children, actually have issues because of it. I was reading an article because of that. So this actually reminds me, when my mom was little, when she would try on shoes, they had this device, basically you stick your foot in it and it would give you an x-ray of your shoe and your foot to see how well it fit. My mom distinctly remembers that.
Huh.
So yeah, x-rays, I mean, x-rays were the new in thing and save your life until you realize that Madame Curie's books are still radioactive and you needed special permits and clothing to see them. So no, totally. I could totally see that because at the time anything's invented, we don't know. I mean, cell phones been around roughly for 20 years and there's been a bunch of studies that say, oh no, it doesn't cause cancer. But the real question is, we've been broadcasting
high
frequency radio waves for years like that. But you take a look, radio's been around since the 30s, and I don't think there's been proof that that causes cancer, but radio waves, unless you're right next to the fucking thing, isn't that strong.
Yeah.
Compared to how strong is a cell phone radio and the radiation it puts out.
Yeah. Well, this the also thing about the whole, now I don't care what you believe. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. Climate change is what we're calling it now. I mean, it was.
I think climate change is a better name.
I think it is a better name. I think it invokes a way better understanding of what's going on than what it was. It was global cooling. It was global heating. And I like the fact that we've come back to. Hold on.
Fucking name it because everybody's pissed off about it.
Well, yeah. But I think climate change is a really good choice. Now. The thing I've been
saying. I like mandate
saying,
climate change only because it gives us the credit.
Anyways, shut
it's
up.
It's impressive if you think about it, really.
I said shut up.
Luckily, I'm the one can control.
Well, luckily, he's not in the same room as me.
Damn. I'd love to see that.
Luckily, I can always still run faster than you.
Yeah, but can you run faster than I throw a knife? Now.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because I'm going to run serpentine, not like fucking Rickon, like an asshole.
I was going to say, James is better. Ryan has better lateral movement.
I don't know. I can still curve a knife as I throw it. Anyways, now, what I was going to say is that the whole thing about climate change, global warming, global cooling, whatever the fuck you want to call it, is this. How long have we been able to map the weather of the Earth, the entire fucking Earth, accurately? That's my question.
Well, weather is not climate.
No, but it is what they are determining is the effects of climate change.
It basically comes...
Now, the weathered patterns, the weathered patterns is what they're studying and saying, okay, this area is getting higher rainwater because the climate change over in the North Pole is causing this to happen. Right. Anyways, blah, 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 blah. How long have we been accurately able to do that, to map it? We can't.
We still fucking can't. You see, I do believe in climate
change. We can't do it accurately. I'm not discounting climate change.
Hold on. I do believe in climate change. I do think one of the things that I think people aren't giving enough thought is, what is the natural Earth cycle? I mean, that is one question, though. Nobody's been able to answer for me. I do think we're doing something, and I'm totally for going green. The only thing for me that I don't like in going green is, you can't change people's life all of a sudden. You know, say if they ban cars all of a sudden, you can't do that. No, I'm for any sort of green technology.
I think you can.
No, you know what's going to happen? If you ban cars, you're instantly going to kill the U.S. economy.
No, I mean, look, I'm not talking about banning cars, but I'm saying you can change people's lives in what they would think is some dramatic way.
Well, let me rephrase that. You can't inconvenience people the way people naturally are.
You can.
No, you can't. Wait, hold on. Here's the thing.
Here's going to be my.
Wait. You're going to let me talk, or I'm going to mute you.
Why would we let
most,
you talk, John?
Most people right do now? Not want to be inconvenienced in the process of things. And if in your
here's my point, I don't care if they want to be inconvenient.
See, here's the thing. You don't, but I know a lot of people, and it's probably a measurable amount of people, that if something was happened that the government did that inconvenienced them, it would be horrible for them. They would bitch. Hold on. So what I'm saying, in the natural order of things, you cannot inconvenience people for...
Look, I get what you're saying. John.
Would you let
I'm
me finish it so the audience knows?
Example.
Well, let me actually get it out so the audience can actually hear what I'm saying. Because maybe they don't know. So basically what I'm saying is people naturally don't like inconvenience. Now, back in the day, solar panels were shit, overly expensive, didn't work, and went out really fast. Nowadays, they last like 20 years. So what I'm saying is, if you can have the technology that works like promised, delivers as promised, with a price that's great, people do it because it's not going to inconvenience them. But if somebody needs, all of a sudden they switch a car that's an electric car that can only get 50 can only go 50 miles without a recharge, nobody's going to do that because it's a hardcore inconvenience. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Again, not again, but just to finish my point that you cut me off from earlier.
That you cut me off.
I'm not talking about on that kind of a scale, okay? My example was going to be when Oregon switched from you have to pump your own gas now. You know, remember how vitriolic people got just because, what, you want me to dangerously pump my own fuel? Yeah, fucking bastard. I want you to just dangerously pump your own fuel. Stop fucking whining about it. Like, that's the scale of what I'm talking about. Not everybody needs to now be driving an electric car.
See, to me, I think that's a different level of inconvenience, but I don't disagree. But what I was trying to say is you can't do a dramatic shift. Like, if you listen to any of the politicians, some of them want a dramatic shift, and you can't do that because people don't like by nature, people don't like change.
The scientific consensus, though, is not talking about the individual having the responsibility to save the world. You know what I mean? The real debate is going on between countries, industrial. You know what I mean? Like different things, like people trying to push coal. It's like, how about we fucking take the 30,000 coal workers out there because they're such a loud group of fucking people and get them new fucking jobs? It can't be that difficult.
Are you talking about like the coal mine that's still burning?
Coal dust anymore.
Well, part of the thing is I don't actually disagree, but then you have politicians, and this is the only one I can remember at the top of my head. AOC, I can never remember her actual name, but she was trying to pass the Green Deal.
Ocasio-Cortez.
Thank you. That if she was
How
trying
the
to
fuck do you know
she
that?
Was trying to pass the Green Deal, and if you actually pay attention to what it was, it would have been a dramatic it would have been a dramatic shift. No, most people by nature don't like change, like the coal miners. One of the reasons.
Yeah, but most people get used to it. That's my point. Is that after a year goes by, and I've been bitching about this fucking switching the metric for a while. Because one, it's easy. Two, once everybody goes like 6 months, and I guarantee you I will be one of these people that's bitching about it during the 6 months. But after that, guess what? I'm used to it. Now it's business as usual.
Fuck your metric system.
I think
people are adaptable as fuck, man.
Yeah, but I think it depends on how big the shift is. If it's a little shift like your Oregon example, 100%. If it's a big shift, like all of a sudden gas-powered cars are now completely outlawed and you can only get a car like that can get 200 miles to a charge... That would affect me personally. That would have a major impact on my life.
The electric cars that are out mostly are hybrids, and like I said, it's not going to be that kind of a switch anyway.
Well,
but let's say that it is. You know, the modern Teslas, not even the expensive ones, just your base models, are fucking ridiculously good on mileage.
Well, no, I don't. That's just an example of what they would do. And I don't disagree. But the one issue they have with electric cars now is, what did you do with the batteries? They're actually finding that solar panels are actually having issues with, because what do you do with the solar panels after the fact? So
there's definitely ways to pull the materials out of it, and it's nowhere near as dangerous as what we're currently doing. You know, but here's the point, is that if we don't get like I'm fucking Congress, if the planet doesn't get India and China on board, then it doesn't matter what we do as individuals. If we go from 12 ounces of meat a day to 6, you know, that's not going to make a fucking difference.
No, I 100% agree, and that's been one of the issues I've had from the beginning. I'm totally for going green. If it's not inconvenient and they can do it a way that the technology actually works, at least close to as delivered, then I'm for going green. I'm for actually bettering the environment, but I have issues when everybody says, oh, we got to do it, but you have China, India, and some third world countries that are releasing horrible chemicals in the air.
I mean, we're talking about major, major industry. You know what I mean?
Well, that's been a lot of shift.
China,
I mean, like,
and India have an infrastructure that's got a billion people a piece.
Well, I know, but China doesn't produce they're not the major hub for manufacturing as they used to be for the United States.
No, they're the major hub for pollution is what they are. Have you ever seen the pictures of fucking like Hong Kong? You can't even see. It's like fog.
Yeah. And so that's the
it's
one thing
crazy.
Is you have to create.
You know, you live in LA, right?
Oh, it's not even as bad as
that. Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like the smog days they used to have around here were bitch ass compared to what they have in fucking China.
Yeah, China's insane.
No, I want you to have your canned air.
Oh, yeah, Perrier.
Yeah, so,
I've got it stuck.
Okay.
So that's, you know, I'd love to see all the green technology happen. But I remember back in the day, because I'm old enough to remember it, when all these people were preaching about, hey, we can make our own gasoline out of a grease from the grease trap in your local store, and you do all this. But it was a super inconvenience. Nobody's going to do that. I know very few people that have the time.
Hey, that's your retirement grease, John.
we realize that as individuals, we're not going to talk the individual into saving the world via recycling. You know what I mean? There's only ever going to be a certain percentage of people that are on board with that sort of a thing.
See, I think you can do it, but you have to make it where it's not inconvenient. Because people will recycle if you figure out how to do it where it's not ridiculous or it doesn't take people out of the way.
You just mandate a particular, thing like, hey, this is the thing that's only going to be sold. You don't do this to the individual. You do it to a particular company. I'm not even talking cars. I mean, whatever, fucking name a thing. Light bulbs, okay? We're no longer going to sell incandescent light bulbs.
So, okay, one thing about that. They switched incandescent light bulbs to CFCs, those curly cue bulbs. Actually found out they had a high amount of mercury in them, so they're actually worse than incandescent.
Yeah, no, fuck those things. LEDs that are out nowadays are perfect, and I've got fucking LEDs all over my cheap-ass apartment that I control with my fucking phone. They're way better than those crappy, CFLs. Fluorescent bulbs.
No, you don't have a clapper?
He just has the clap. It's the cheaper version.
Oh, dude, I almost got the clapper. You want to talk about a technology that's fucking held up over the years? The fucking clapper.
I know. I don't understand why that shit never caught on. I mean, that it's was a really good idea.
His girlfriend get tired of the medication.
Yeah, I don't know. That I thought that was a really good idea.
We are actually over time. So
I blame John.
Whatever.
You didn't have a topic, so I took over.
Actually, it was Ryan. So, any closing arguments, James?
Fuck the metric system.
Ryan?
Yeah, you say that until you're used to it, and then it's easy, and then it's done.
No. No.
So, my answer...
It's done.
I want to know how many cunt hairs it takes to shut
like,
you up.
It's like that scene in fucking Goodfellas when they explain that they whacked, what's his name?
So, my answer to that... is England. So, ladies and gentlemen, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.